League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I've got a Dutch bull in a Chinese china shop. Doesn't none of this works.
And I've got Simon the Beaver.
Ooh. Is that Simone de Beauvoir?
Yes.
Ah.
I preferred saying it as Simon the Beaver.
Hello. Welcome to Dave Fight. I've started. Jesus.
Sorry.
Welcome to Dave Fight. Listen. It's the podcast where we take things that occurred on this day and we pitch them against each other. I finished talking. I finished talking now.
Yes, we do. He's Jake Yap. I'm Nat Tapley. Don't even think about it. And joining us today to... cast her roving eye over our unrepentant stories is Elizabeth Arbuthnot Roper.
Oh, that was a good one.
I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to speak. I don't know which way the wind is blowing and if Jake Yap's going to have my guts for garters.
Sock garters.
I literally just sit here with an assortment of whistles now. That's all I am. It's pathetic.
Is that how Duncan Norvell's died off?
Certainly.
Marvellous.
I'm going to take us to the 22nd of October 1964, when Jean-Paul Sartre turned down the Nobel Prize for Literature. Jean-Paul Sartre was an existentialist philosopher and perhaps the most French person you can imagine. In that, you know, he wasn't the most... Well, he was quite a striking-looking human, but he spent most of his time smoking gitanes on the Rive Gauche, contemplating non-existence. He is about as French as you can get. There's Jacques Brel, Simone de Beauvoir, and him.
Wait, Jacques Brel's Belgian, isn't he?
Huh?
Isn't Jacques Brel Belgian?
Don't you come crashing in here with your pedantry.
Anyway, in 1954, Jean-Paul Sartre went to the USSR to see what it was like there, and he liked it a little more than he probably should have. He said there was complete freedom of criticism there, whereas the USA was in a state of pre-fascism, and no matter what else you can say for the USSR and its achievements, complete freedom for criticism was probably not it. But in 1956, he got very cross with the Soviet Union after they invaded Hungary. He then got cross with Khrushchev again when Khrushchev said Stalin was bad, and he said no one needed to know that. I was friends with him when Stalin was around. That was a good time. Oh, he shouldn't have told everyone. He said the masses were not ready to receive the truth. And so in 1964, when he was offered the Nobel Prize for Literature, or he found himself on the shortlist, he said, take me off the shortlist. I don't want to be on the shortlist because it's a cultural thing of the West and I don't want to be involved in the cultural war between the West and the East. And they said, well, we're going to keep you on the shortlist anyway. And by the way, you've won. So, And he went, well, I'm not going to have the prize then. So there. And no one else had ever turned it down before that. He said in an article, what did he say? He said, I do not wish to change the way I write. But 10 years later, in 1965, he did pop back to the Nobel Prize Committee and say, is that prize still available? Because I could really do with some extra cash right now.
Wow.
And they went, no, it's gone. We spent it on things to promote the cultural war between the East and the West. So there. And he's particularly... important in my life because it reminded me of perhaps the worst on-stage experience I've ever had.
Tell everything.
Oh, wow.
Nightmares that sometimes you have where you're on stage and you don't know what you're doing there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
World Music Awards 2008. Give me yours.
Well, in fact, I looked around this room to see if I had the copy, and I do. I've got the copy right up there of Crime Passionnel, the Jean-Paul Sartre play, which is essentially a two-hander between two people, one of whom is playing a revolutionary, the other is an outgoing prime minister of a country, and they sit there and they talk for about 2 hours about revolution and their own internal struggles. And the person, and I was playing one of the parts, and the person I was playing it with Didn't know any of his lines at all on the day before. And so he said, don't worry, I will have learnt them by tomorrow. I will definitely have done it. So in front of a theatre full of 130 people, it was a huge theatre. The next day, I turned him for his first cue of hours of just two people talking on stage, and he looked at me and said, I don't know.
Oh my God.
And so I went, okay, I can work around that with this one. Took him to his next cue and he went, oh, I don't know. And he spent 2 hours just saying, I don't know, about every third line, when he had no idea what he was
saying. Oh my God, Nat!
And I have no idea how that play ended, because I've blacked it. You know, you black out traumatic things.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
can remember up to about the interval, but I have no idea how we got off stage. I can't think of what happened.
Christ, you went back on!
Oh yeah, we had to finish the show.
I mean, how many shows did you have to do?
I think it was five. It was five shows.
Oh. That's unforgivable.
Anyway.
That's disgraceful.
He did have an impeccable range of ways in which to say, I don't know. I don't know.
Did he go, oh,
I don't know.
Wow.
Anyway, that's an hour and a half.
Did he apologise profusely in the interval?
No, he sort of implied that I hadn't given him the right cues.
Yes, it's generally your fault, isn't it? It is generally the person who remembers the lines. It's their fault for not delivering them in the right way.
I mean, I don't think I was doing it very well. I was having it away with the director.
I dare say you were were there. You were saying
some lines.
I was
there. I did know roughly what the plot of the play was. Yeah. I did get to shoot him at the end.
I bet you enjoyed
that. That's how I got out of it. Right, bang.
Stamp on his throat.
Wow. I once did a play with Dudley Sutton. Do you remember who was in Lovejoy?
Yes, in
Fabulous.
Lovejoy.
Oh, yeah. And I loved him. And he had so many stories about working with Joan Littlewood, and he was in the first Joe Wharton, and he was just this mountain of wealth and knowledge. But halfway through the rehearsals, he turned 86, and his memory was pretty much all over the place. And he worked really, 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 really hard. But there was something about him being on stage and the adrenaline pumping, and there was an awful, awful lot of blackouts, which was fine most of the time. And I didn't mind dealing with it so much. But the actress I was working with, she was losing her mind. She was absolutely losing her mind.
Amazing.
There was one scene. I was positioned in the auditorium. I could see them both on stage, and they were having this dialogue. And I could see him go. I could recognise the signs that he'd just gone, and I could see that she'd recognised that he'd gone. And that's the point where he just threw his arms up in the air and said, "Ooh, I've left the gas on," and just ran off stage.
Oh my God.
Was it historically appropriate for him to have gas in the building?
Just about, but it did leave her on stage having to fill.
Oh, I've left the whale oil burning in my lamps.
Oh, he was lovely.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Jake, what have you got?
Well, I would like to take you to the 22nd of October, 1633.
Ooh.
And a pretty wild story. The Battle of Liaoluo Bay. Okay? I have had some rum, but I am perfectly all right, and I'm facing forwards. This is a battle between China and the Dutch East India Company. And I'm pleased to say the Dutch East India Company loses.
Hey!
What had happened was the Chinese had sort of relaxed their ban on maritime trade. So it was all getting pretty loose around the ports, guys, pretty loose around the docks. And what had happened was a kind of band of piratic mercenaries were kind of operating the Taiwan Strait, which is where we were, right? And there was this guy who was a pirate, basically, called Zheng Jilong. And the emperor was like, this can't go on. What am I going to do? So instead of trying to punish this guy, he recruits him and says, listen, right? I want you to go and just mess him up, right? Mess him up. So Zheng Jilong goes over to the Dutch and was like, oh, yeah, got some paperwork here, some stuff pretty, we should be able to make all of this pretty kosher, guys. So if you want to, and they'd be like, oh, right, yeah, oh, that's cool, yeah, all right. And all the while, they were building up their naval forces. But it was a miracle of an attack. It was described as a miracle. There was an attack by the Dutch first, but then there was a counterattack by the Chinese, and they had a right old go on Sluiter Dick, which was one of the boats. And what they said was they had these tiny fireboats. They were like crews of 16 people on these 100 fireboats, and they said to the crew, "If you set fire to one of the Dutch ships, we'll give you 200 pieces of silver. If you can present us with a Dutch head," which is not a euphemism, "we'll give you 50 pieces of silver." And they were like, well, that's pretty cool. And then the typhoon season struck and the Dutch fleet were incapacitated. And in the end, the Chinese won. Officials of Emperor Ming, they called it a miracle at sea. And they were massively outnumbered and outgunned and everything. And
does this mean that heads were chopped off?
Yes, I'm afraid heads were probably...
Did you actually physically have to present the head to get the money?
You had to
say,
physically...
I did have loads of heads, but
you
I
had to
them
physically
the
give head for money.
Right. Okay. Just checking.
Good.
Happy birthday to Edith Kawelohea McKenzie, the Hawaiian genealogist and expert in hula and chant. She taught traditional hula and chant all around the world, US, and was director of the Hawaiian Language Project and has been named a living treasure of Hawaii. Although she is no longer living, so she is a once living.
They rescinded that.
Yeah, taking that away from her at the funeral, they turned up.
Yeah. Can I have that badge back? Where's the badge?
Happy death day to Soupy Sales, Milton Supman, who was the clown Soupy Sales, who from 1953 to 1966 had a children's sketch show on American television and ended every single sketch in it with getting pie in the face. He estimated that he had been hit with 20,000 pies during his career.
Wow.
Also was a character called Willy the Worm, who was a balloon-propelled worm that emerged from its house to use a high-pitched voice to announce people's birthdays, which really puts my contribution to this podcast in context.
By the way, if you'd chosen 1961, you could have had Jacques Brel appearing at the Olympia in Paris, who got star billing, but only because Marlene Dietrich pulled out. And yes, he was Belgian, mate.
Yeah. Oh. Fair enough.
Oh.
Lizzie.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, so what we got? We got we've got the
some rum.
Got the Chinese being very ungentlemanly in 1633, and Mr. Sartre. Do you know what I? Do you know? Do you? Oh,
she's off.
Do you know? Do you know?
Here we
do
go.
You know?
Oh, it's like what? A female Frankie Howard.
No, up to speed.
No, closer. You know, come here, closer. Here. Come here. Here, you lovely boys. You know what we haven't done for a long while?
Oh, God, no, please.
You haven't indulged. You haven't indulged my Francophile fantasy and acted out. Acted out for your Auntie Lizzie. So, I'd like little Jacob Yap to sit on my left knee, and I'd like little Nat Tapley to sit on my right knee.
Which way, Harry?
I'd like little Nat Tapley. He'll be taking on the part of Jean-Paul Sartre. Ooh, yes, yes, he is.
I put on my wonky eyeglasses.
Can
now.
I be Jacques Brel?
I was going to say that you can be the committee and he has to be asking for his prize back. Okay. If you want to play it as Jacques Brel, that's entirely up to you. And let the scene commence now.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour! That's my impression of Jacques Brel.
Do you remember about 10 years ago I won the Nobel Prize? I am a Nobel Prize winner.
Yes, but les bourgeois, c'est comme les cochons. Plus ça devient vieux, plus ça devient bête. Les bourgeois, c'est comme les cochons. Plus ça devient vieux, plus ça devient...
I've often since then contemplated my existence. Right now, I wish I was not existing at all. May could I possibly trouble you for the money that went with the prize?
Bam! Ce soir j'attends Madeleine, j'ai apporté Julia. J'en apporte toutes les semaines, Madeleine, elle aime tant ça. Ce soir j'attends Madeleine, on prendra le train, prends trois pour manger des frites chez Eugène.
Madeleine, elle aime tant ça. She's not coming. She's not, I met her on the way in.
Ce que je dirais, c'est que tu, toi-même, t'as embrassé l'esprit de oui. Et beaucoup mieux que moi qui a enfin trahi
le scène. Scene.
Et scène. Scène. Scène.
It was sounding very saucy.
What I said was, I said, Nat, t'as embrassé l'esprit de oui et. You embrace the spirit of yes and as in improv, whereas I basically committed treason as a performer, just going off on one and singing non sequitur songs. So I apologise.
Well done, gentlemen. It tickled me in the bits that I needed to be tickled in. it leaves me in a very compromised position. What?
Everyone prefers that anyway. If other people are trying to create improvisation grades properly and one person just does a silly voice, that's what we're there for, really.
It's true, isn't it?
We don't want to see you construct a long-form story out of bits you've gathered from the audience. All we want to hear is funny French voices. Can you do any impressions? Yes, do those, and then we can all go
Snip! What?
And for that reason, today's winner is Nathaniel.
Okay, fine.
There you go.
Lovely stuff. Well, lovely. Come back great. Tomorrow.
Now get off my knees. Get off my knees.
Oh, love
get
it.
Off.
The minute you finish, you're like, you just roll over, break wind, and fall asleep. I just wanted to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Takes a lot of pressure off. Do come back tomorrow when we'll find out what other organs we'll have.
No, don't.
No, come back day after tomorrow and listen to two. There you go. Give yourself a treat. In fact, binge now because we're going to start getting rhythm on November the 1st. So you better listen now.
Well, yeah, so what's the plan? Do you want to talk us through it now while we're still doing an actual podcast?
Through. So, the beginning of next month, November the 1st, we will update all the Patreon levels to what we talked about earlier in the month, where there will be, for £3, you get a badge and the newsletter and all of the discounts that come with membership of the Date Fight Club. For £5, you also then get access to the archive, which will start disappearing from November the 5th. So you'll have the last year, but no more. For £10, you get extra podcasts every month. For £20, you get to watch a live stream with us and ask us anything every month. And for a one-off donation of £10, you can submit someone for the birthdays or the death days to be ridiculed at length on this podcast by us. It's not your length.
Yeah.
Don't know much about your friends. I just go.
I was listening to that list going, oh, that sounds good. No idea. All right, is that how cool? Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and the more people who sign up, the more brand new episodes we can do, and the lovelier it'll be. So, thank you for listening, and if you do want to help us do more, support us in some way. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Even if it's just by writing a review and subscribing and telling your friends, that's also good.
That'd be very super sweet.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.